Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here in the Contractor Fight. Listen, we take your questions as long as they don't suck, and we answer them here on the show. Listen, if you want to send a question into the Contractor Fight podcast, please text the word podcast to 833-415-0473. The word podcast to 833-415-0473. Put your info in there and ask the questions that we have, and we'll pick the ones that are the most relevant to the most people here in the fight. You guys rock, and let's do this. All right, welcome everybody to our Q&A episode here today, here on the Contractor Fight podcast. And Dan and I are going to hit a couple pretty common questions that we get. We've got somebody named Keegan and somebody named Chris asked these two questions. We're going to dig in here today. And I think these are good questions, man, because there's a lot of confusion on this. So Dan, Keegan comes right out of the gate. He's like, hey, what makes a good ad? This is funny because I know so many people struggle with, you know, they'll write an ad, they'll do their own Facebook ads, they'll write their own Google ad, and that's fine. You want to do that, that's cool. But I recommend you learn some copywriting skills and things like that. But a lot of people are like, oh, advertising doesn't work. Running ads never worked for me. My door hangers don't work, blah, blah, blah. And I usually can spot some things right out of the gate that are the culprit. I know you also have had a pretty big history with a lot of different ads and a lot of direct mail in the past, and you had different ads that would go out. Let's just take direct mail as an example. You'd have different ads that would go out, and you'd see, wow, this one performed really well versus this one totally screwed the pooch. So what's your initial take on what makes a good ad?
You know, it's funny. Like most people, when they think of what a good ad is, they go to the technical side, the layout, the image, even the message. And that's all important. But what I learned over time from my trial and error and then working with some professionals is what makes a good ad is having an ideal client that you're marketing it towards. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know what your destination is, who are you writing this ad for? And yeah. So that's why I think most people fail. Like when I was doing direct mail, if I wasn't very specific about what neighborhood, what income, the type of houses, I had terrible returns. If it's going off to like a lower end aluminum sided neighborhood, I'm not going to get a hell of a lot of exterior painting jobs out of that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I don't care how glossy or well-written it was. So I think the first thing everyone has to do before they even create an ad is be very intentional about who it's going towards. And then once you know that question, you can figure out what makes those people tick and create the ad to cater to that.
Yeah, you nailed it with knowing who your ideal client is and what their pains are, right? Like I know you had an ad a couple of years ago, you did a direct mail piece. You were looking to pick up some more higher end, you know, builder GC type people. And I see you smiling right now as we're talking.
Yeah.
and you really dug deep into the pain of a builder or remodeler and this and that. And I know I refreshed my memory. I think you generated a list of about 100 of them. And I might be wrong. And I want to be clear here. It's not like you were targeting 100 different builders and picked up 40 or 50 of them. You picked up like two. I think it was like two if my memory serves, but they were like the cream of the crop, no problem paying, never had a problem with your money because you tapped into the pain. And tell us a little bit about what that headline was, because guys, the number one thing to a good ad is an effective headline, 100%. In fact, 80% of readers, there's all these stats, but about 80% of readers never get past the headline of an ad. So what was your ad to those builders back then?
Yeah, just to preface the target, like you mentioned, it was very high-end custom builders in my area. I was just looking to pick up one or two. That was my goal, just one or two, these unicorn customers to get their work. And specifically, I wanted their repaint work. And so, you know, I researched them all online and trucks I'd see around and all this stuff. And, you know, I could have gone into about quality and responsibility and loyalty, all this crap that we think people want. My postcard was simply a cartoon of a guy tied to a chair. And the headline was, "Is your painter holding you hostage?" And that was the only copy on the whole ad.
The only copy. And then your contact info.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So, he, you know, and so guys, Dan put himself in the shoes, having also worked with many of these builders, and he knows, like, hey, what keeps you up at night? What drives you crazy? And that's the feedback that Dan kept getting. So first thing, guys, effective headline. Second, get a well-written copy that's relevant, right, to that target audience. I mean, I think, again, one of the biggest mistakes that is made when we're talking about ads is we're not tapping into the emotion. We're listing a bunch of features of what we do and how many years experience and all this other garbage. So I would say, make sure it's relevant to the pain and the emotions that you're targeting. I think having an image, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? So, you know, I think something that, you know, I was talking to an electrician not too long ago, and they got in these older homes, the knob and tube jobs, and they want those jobs to update the wiring and this and that. And I was like, well, what's the downside of somebody not hiring you to update their electric? And he says, well, the house will burn down. Okay. And I don't know if you ever did this, but like, I was like, well, if I'm putting an ad together, I'm putting like a house on fire and a family, like a silhouette of a family out front. And then the headline's going to be something like, maybe tonight's the night.
Yeah. Okay. Like, the old Michelin ads, right? So much riding on your tires, and it was an infant inside of a tire. And it's just like, wow, that's right. Maybe I'll spend an extra $100 per tire to make sure my kid doesn't get smoked, you know? So it's amazing. Like, one of my other successful postcards was just an image of some perfectly painted clapboards, and that was it. And I picked like an art house type really nice picture that somebody, and it was just a little, I remember I was bouncing off of you, a little watermark logo. You could barely see it unless you focused on it. But my goal is to get it stuck on a refrigerator, and they would just think of painting their house, and on the backside was my contact. And that was another very successful card that I had, just because it went to the aesthetic of my ideal customer, the historic house, and the pride they feel towards it. And it was an aspiration.
Yeah. And I would wrap this up with, you know, we talked about the headline, great image, you know, touching into the emotion and the pain. Guys, another big mistake I see is a lot of people put too many things in their ad. They try to fit everything in there. When I see that, then I know they really haven't gone through the exercise of their ideal client and some things we talked about. And then finally, your ad should have a well-written ad in any media should have one call to action. Like, you know, what do you want them to do as a result of this ad? Do you want them to go to this web domain? Do you want them to text this thing? Do they, you know, I think it's a mistake. I'm not saying don't have an ad where your phone number and your website's not on there, but what I'm saying, what do you really want them to do? Because if I say text blah, blah, blah to this number, you know, to get info on our blah, blah, blah package or whatever, and they go to the website, fill out a form there, that's fine, right? They still come in. Okay. But we really want to make it simple for people. You know, what do I want them to do and not confuse them? So anyway, great question. And I think a much needed one. Hey, fighters, listen, I want to tell you about Nice Job. They're one of the sponsors here of the Contractor Fight. They are a reputation marketing software platform that can help you grow your service business. Nice Job's automated tools are going to help you collect 2 to 3 times more reviews and then share those reviews where it matters the most. Using that social proof, you can be the top rated contractor in your field, in your area. So I want to encourage you all to visit thecontractorfight.com/nicejob and get some more information, guys. Reviews are huge, and don't miss out on more sales because you're not getting them. thecontractorfight.com/nicejob. All right, second one we got here today is from Chris. What are the top 3 items to change in the company to attract better employees? Oh God, man, we talk about this all the time, and I feel like an absolute broken record with the things that come to my mind first. But as Neil here in the fight, he's always reminding me, you know, that Dave Ramsey says the same stuff every single day for the last 30 years, right? It's the same answers, right? Same baby steps, whatever. But man, listen, I think number one, we'll just kind of volley back and forth here, Dan. First thing for me, if you want to attract better employees, you got to create the type of culture that people are going to want to work at, where they, you know, they're supported, they're recognized, they're trained, there's a path to grow. You know, it's known as like, man, this is the kick-ass place to work. You know, and I think that includes everything, includes paying the best. I think it includes, you know, you really invest in yourself and a leader. And we talk about this all the time, like having a mastery ladder is what we call it, where you could come in at this and you can move up to here. You know, I got a copper company putting copper in Fight HQ right now, down in my little bar area. And they're there today. And I was talking to the guy yesterday, the owner, and I'm like, you know, hey, what do you start your people at and stuff? And he said, we used to start at like 15, 16. Now we're starting at 18. And within, you know, 60 days, you're up to $20. You know, and that's as somebody with zero experience and stuff like that. And then he's like, and then we have this level and we have this level. And so most of my guys are making $30 an hour or so and blah, blah, blah. And I said, how does that compare to your industry? He says, we're higher than everybody, you know? And so, and that's not that he doesn't need guys either, but he's like, I'm doing everything in my power to give these people a future, right? Because we all know what a pain in the butt it is to, you know, have to find and train and build a new team. So that first thing for me is just that attractive environment.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it falls under the quote unquote culture that we talk about. You know, when I read this question and I hear attract better employees, I'm assuming that there's current employees in the picture that maybe are disappointing. I would, you know, kind of make a list of things that you are looking, what defines better. So you can kind of have, just like we talked about ideal client with an ad, like what does your ideal employee look like? I would analyze any exit interview info you had, like why are these people leaving? Was it because the money sucked? Was it because you were a slave driver? Was it because what was that? You kind of analyze that so you can sidestep those problems as well. But you know, it always comes down to that question: would you want to work for you? So, like, is there a future? Is there, you know, is there the security? Is there room for growth if I'm interested in that? So we had an interesting talk on open coaching today about this. And somebody mentioned Elon Musk's philosophy. And one question is, you know, name some huge problem that you solved, you know, you're involved with in detail, and whether how detailed they go will tell you how involved they were in the process. Mm-hmm. And then another one was, tell me about the most interesting thing in your life. The life story and the way people go into that, and whether they come out from a space of positivity or negativity or whatever, opens up a lot. So ask some of these questions to get to know the person, I think. And from that point, your gut will help you find the right one.
Yep. And I don't know if we're going to talk about 2, 3, 4, 5 items here to attract better employees. I'm just kind of vamping here. You know, I think the other is, build your brand. We talk about that all the time. Like the more visible you are, the more you're going to be a magnet to people. And it's never been easier to build our brand. It's never been cheaper with all our technology and social platforms and all that other stuff. So I would be fanatical about building your brand. And then I think another big thing here is, you know, to attract better employees, we all want to attract better employees and more of them. You know, I think with building your brand, it's being strategic about where you're going to look, and you touched on this a little, where you're going to look and the type of character of people that I want. Like Google used to do a thing. I heard this in an interview with, I think, the founder of LinkedIn, who used to work at Google, and he was talking about a hiring practice that they used to have back in the day. I don't know if they still do it. But apparently the first thing they would look for when they got a resume at Google, they'd flip through a resume with a highlighter, and they would literally highlight what they perceived to be something that would define or show extreme accomplishment. So like if somebody was a youth judo champion, if they were, they got a scholarship for playing piano or whatever it might be, you know, they were part of some sort of team or whatever, you know, the point is that those type of people are more likely to know what it takes to set a goal, work towards that goal, you know, be held accountable to the goal. So that's just one aspect there, is really define the type of human being, like you shared, who I want on my team. What are those non-negotiables? You know, when we coach people, Dan, it's, we do that all the time. You know, we're like, okay, what are your non-negotiables going to be here in your company for the people that work here? When those are aligned with who you are as the leader, you're going to be much more likely to attract the people that you want in your team. So anything else, man, come to mind, or you got?
Yeah, the only thing, honestly, like, company core values are mm-hmm. great to have defined. We like having them anyway, but if that's something that you can show somebody during the interview process, like, hey, here's what we stand for, X, Y, and Z. If people, then they know where you're coming from. And I think they can align with you, and they'll be more open with you, and they'll just know what's going on. So yeah, it's just that clarity of what are you offering. Don't approach it from what can this person do for me. Look at it from a way like, where can we go together? I think is how you have to look at employees when you're doing hires, so that they have a vested interest in what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing every single one of us asks ourselves when we're about to take a job or work with somebody or do something is, what's in it for me? Right. So I think we keep that front and center. What's in it for them? Make it about them, not about us. Word will get around, because that'll be the type of culture that you build. So
exactly.
Anyway, man, good hanging with you guys. Appreciate your questions here this week on the Contractor Fight Q&A. Get out there, rock it. Don't forget to send your questions in if you got them. We appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Hey, we appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today on this Q&A episode. To send a question to the Contractor Fight Podcast, please text the word podcast to 833-415-0473. Text the word podcast to 833-415-0473. Put your info in there, and we will take the questions that are relevant to the most people here in the fight. Super appreciate you all. Get out there, kick some serious tail. We'll see you later.